Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, I'm excited because we're launching a brand new series for the next couple of months here, probably an 8-part series, you know, maybe 6, maybe 8, probably 8. Anyway, it is a portrait of God that I call He is our gift giver. I see these portraits of God throughout the scriptures, and we have 3 main passages we're going to be covering to look at the spiritual gifts that the Lord, our gift giver, has given to us. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to start over in Romans chapter 12. And as you make your way there, just a quick heads up that you can get all of these messages again archived on my website. I call it Helping You Hear God. That website is markpg.org. On that landing page, you can see options for articles, options for printed guides, for 3-minute videos, and for these 27-minute broadcasts under the broadcast box. Just click on that. You get to the next landing page and click on Portraits of God, and there you'll see the archived messages. So I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org called Helping You Hear God. And hey, that's what we love to do when we come together, is to ask the Lord to speak so we can hear Him. So let's go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm very excited about this series because You are indeed our gift giver. You've given us spiritual gifts of all types and all kinds and all mixes. And boy, it just makes for a fascinating journey in You and in the local church. And so, Lord, as we get ready to take a pilgrimage through these 3 key passages, and of course many other passages that describe these gifts, I pray that You'll just open our hearts, to see ourselves, to see those around us, that we can appreciate that we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So thank You, Lord, for this journey we're about to take, and thank You for being our incredibly lavish and gracious gift giver. Oh, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, I am so excited about taking you on this journey of discovering how the Lord, our gift giver, gives us 20 listed spiritual gifts. And actually in 3 categories in 3 passages, Romans 12, where we'll start today, then Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12. And for the big overview to tell you where we're going in this probably an 8-part series, we're going to talk about the personal spiritual gifts. There are 7 of them in Romans 12. Then we're going to talk about positional spiritual gifts, and there's 4 of those in the Ephesians 4 passage. And then over in the 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians 12 passage, we're going to have 9 of them that I call situational spiritual gifts. How the Lord gives us spiritual gifts for particular situations that we encounter in our daily lives and our daily walk with Him. So it's fascinating what He has done as we look at the full counsel of Scripture. So let's begin our journey over in Romans. Chapter 12. And the Bible says this, starting in verse 3. For through the grace given to me, by the way, I got to stop right there. These gifts are given by His grace. These are grace gifts from above. These spiritual gifts are given by His grace. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. By the way, I think it's just marvelous how Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is giving us this caution right off the bat to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. In other words, we're all on the same level ground. None of us is better than the other. And yet, we are distinct. We are different from each other. But depending upon what assortment of spiritual gifts he's given to us in these personal spiritual gifts, there's seven of them, as I mentioned, it doesn't make us any better than the next person. It just makes us different. And it also makes us unique. So I love how he reminds us, okay, now we're going to talk about these special gifts. You're going to discover yours, but don't let it lead you to thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think compared to your brothers and your sisters. Oh, I just love that. Now, verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And that is just a great metaphor to think about the body. You know, well, we have two eyes and two ears and two hands and two feet and one heart and one neck. I mean, on all of these body parts have differing purposes. It doesn't make one better than the other. We need them all, but they're distinct. They're unique. They have their own purpose. And so it is for each of us in the body of Christ. And then in verse 6, he begins to unpack them for us, list them for us. And I'm going to be defining these and also illustrating them with animal metaphors to make them easier to remember and understand, not only about yourself, but your family members, your mom, your dad, your siblings, or your kids, and the neighbors, and people at church, schools, coaches, bosses. You know, we all have gifts that differ. We come across differently. We can misinterpret each other so easily. It's kind of like each of these spiritual gifts has its own language, and you have to learn to speak the other language to really understand them. I mean, it's just a fascinating journey that we're going to be taking here as we start with these personal spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 4. And here's the list of them. Verse 6 now, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace, there it is again, the grace gifts, the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Now, as we get to the list, just a caution. We actually, I believe, have two primary ones that we are given to begin with. Maybe one's a little bit more pronounced than the other of those two. And then we get little sprinkles of the others. And it's kind of like when you go to Home Depot and you're ordering paint. Isn't it amazing how you buy this base paint and then, having looked at this wall just full of all of these little color cards, you know, all the different greens, all the different blues, all the different reds, all the different blacks, all the different whites even, and all that stuff, thousands to choose from, you pick one of those and you take that little color card and it has a code on it, and you take it over to the counter where they have some base paint. And they put that base paint under a little machine and they just plug in the number of the color code that you've just handed them on that card. And isn't it amazing? If you've ever watched closely, out of that little nozzle where they plug in the numbers and then they press the button, there's a little bit of yellow, maybe a little bit of green, a little bit of black. I mean, just bloop, 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 little drip drops, and it seems inconsequential. But those differing droplets of color get into the base paint, and then they mix it all up in that machine, thumping around and all. And by George, when they take that cover off that formerly base paint, now it has whatever shade of green or blue or red or black or white that you wanted. And that makes it unique. Thousands. Although there's certain primary colors, the mixtures of each makes all the difference in the color. And so it is with these gifts. We might have one or two base paint gifts, so to speak, to mix metaphors here for a moment. But we have sprinkles of the others as well. And as we grow in Christ-likeness, the Bible says to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, what that means is Jesus had all of the gifts, so the more we become like Christ as we grow and mature in Him, the more the gifts we'll be taking on, and it gets more and more difficult to discern what the two primary gifts were when we first started out in our journey with Him. Isn't that amazing? That's why the senior saints that have really walked with the Lord, you really can't tell which of those gifts are their prominent ones because they're taking on more and more because they're becoming more and more Christ-like. But in our early lives, for the early decades, we're going to be manifesting those one or two primary gifts more so than the others. And that is what can lead to miscommunication and misunderstanding, as we'll see as we go along. And that's why it's important to be aware of these gifts and the mixes and the people around you so you can appreciate, speak their language, listen to them in their language and not misunderstand and misinterpret them. So, what are those seven personal spiritual gifts or heart-wired spiritual gifts that God has just embedded within your heart? Well, here it is. If prophecy, we're back in verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, again, this is Romans 12, verses 6 and following, if prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation, or he who gives, with liberality, he who leads, or administration, some Bible translations have administrations, or leadership, with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And of course, this is men and women that it's talking about here in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. All right, so we have the seven. Prophecy and teaching and exhortation and administration and service and giving and mercy. So let's start our journey through each of those. And I'm going to arrange them a little bit differently than you see them in the text because there are three of them that are the extroverts, and that's the smaller percentage of folks. Maybe 10% of people have a big dose of these extroverted gifts. The others are going to have more of the introverted service kind of gifts, you know, support kind of gifts, and we'll get to those. So we're going to start with three of the extroverted ones. The fourth one is going to be kind of a hybrid. Those with this gift have sometimes more of an extroverted personality, but they can have an introverted personality and still have this gift. And then the last three, which are certainly not least in importance, are going to be the 80, 85, 90% of the folks who operate with these gifts in different mixes. So let's talk about the gift of prophecy. And I mentioned that I was going to use animals as metaphors. So we have the gift of prophecy. I'm going to define it as this: declares the black and white heart truths of God. Those are the gifts of prophecy. This forthtelling, speaking forth, speaking out boldly. Let me give you a passage that goes along with this, and here's the metaphor I'm going to give it. An eagle. Eagle is a big, strong, powerful bird. Looks like it's always scowling. It's got that beak that's sharp and curved. It's got the talons and stuff. And when they come in for a landing, it is just unbelievably powerful. When they speak, they screech. People that have the bold gift of prophecy, speaking forth, declaring the black and white heart truths of God, can be characterized as this eagle type. These are the born leaders. These are the visionaries. They're the ones that said, we're going to take that hill and we can do this, you know, and you believe them. You want to follow them. There's gravitas in their lives. There's boldness there. So let me give you a cross reference to this over in Acts chapter 14. If you're a note taker, Acts chapter 14, verses 2 through 6. Here's what the Bible says. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided. So this is obviously the apostles being sent out and doing their thing. And in this case, they are described as speaking boldly, speaking with a gift of prophecy, the black and white heart truths of God, these born leader types. Now, as I'm describing this particular gift, I'm sure there have been people in your life that were very outspoken. They think in terms of black versus white. You're in or you're out, you're off or you're on. And there's very little gray area in their thinking. Those who do public speaking, if they have the gift of prophecy and are preaching or even teaching or even counseling, they're going to tend to focus on particular truths, and they're going to speak about it strongly. Now, it's going to be different from the gift of teaching that we see coming up next. But I want you just to understand that there are people that they will speak very decisively and in very black and white terms, and they can be very intimidating. They can shut people down. They can make them self-conscious. They don't want to go toe-to-toe with somebody speaking this strongly, this definitively. It's like one guy who said, my grandfather may not have always been right, but he was never indecisive. I love that. Prophets tend to be very decisive. You know, we get a glimpse of that over in Acts 15 when Paul and Barnabas had a sharp disagreement, the Bible says, and it was over a young man named John Mark. John Mark had gone with them on the first missionary journey, but we find out that he deserted them in Pamphylia. So when they were getting ready for the second missionary journey, Barnabas one day apparently says, Hey, Paul, let's get Mark and take him with us on the second missionary journey. Paul said, are you nuts? Are you crazy? The guy quit on us. We don't need deserters. And Barnabas, whose name means encourager, who was much softer and older than Paul at this time, said, well, wait a minute. We work with people. We give them second chances. Obviously, we want to take them. No, we're not going to tell. Look, I know he's your nephew and all, and I get you want him to give him a second chance, but we need people we can count on, not quitters. And they had a sharp disagreement over that. Paul, with his gifting, being prophetic, couldn't see anything beyond the guy's a deserter. I don't want to mess with him. Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Well, shame on me for giving you that second chance when you're a quitter. And that's kind of where they were. And it's a sad thing that they had a sharp disagreement and they divided. But, I'm glad the Bible puts that in there because it's real life. We're going to have disagreements. And sometimes they can be sharp. We prefer that they're not. We prefer that we can come to a reasonable compromise or calibration of what we're trying to do or decision that needs to be made, but that doesn't always happen. There are those with the gift of prophecy, eagles in our midst. And when they speak, they screech. They can intimidate. People can get discouraged. I've had the privilege of teaching these spiritual gifts over the years, all around the world, in Singapore and in Beijing, and then over in South America, in Ecuador, and over in Brazil and the Caribbean and Egypt and up in Russia and Latvia. Anyway, I tell you, this resonates with so many people. And I can remember being in Egypt at a particular conference there and sharing this. We actually were visiting a compound in central Egypt, a Christian compound and all, beautiful place. And the young lady who was giving us the tour was gallantly doing so. And I say that because I could tell she was very upset. Something had happened, apparently at work, where she worked there, and had hurt her, but she had this tour she needed to lead, and so she did. And bless her heart, she made it through, and most were, did not detect that she was struggling inside. But being a pastor, I kind of noticed. And so when everybody was leaving after the tour, I said, "Are you okay?" I'm sorry. Well, something happened with my boss, and I'm just trying to deal with it. But no, he's a good man and all, but thank you for coming and all. I said, "Well, listen, I'm going to be speaking later. You're welcome to come, and I'm actually going to be talking about personal spiritual gifts and how it makes us all so different from one another." "Oh, you are? Sure, we'd love to have you come by." So she did, and I started, and I went through the whole thing. Now, we've just covered number one, but I'm stopping here because when she told me, she came up to me afterwards, and she said, and she had tears in her eyes. She said, "Pastor Mark, I just have to thank you so much for what you just shared. I've just discovered what's going on here. You see, my boss, he's an eagle, and it feels like he's always screeching, and I can't do anything that's quite right, and he's always correcting me or saying me to do something else, and I just feel overwhelmed sometimes, but I'm discovering he's not mad at me. I think he's been mad at me this whole time, but he's not. That's just the way he speaks." Because you see, my friend, those with the gift of prophecy often don't realize how harsh they may sound, how intimidating they can be, how it looks like an eagle who's always scowling. It's got that pointed, sharp, curved beak and those talons in it, and they don't realize it. And so I try to help people understand, when you have those with the gift of prophecy, eagles in your life, a mom, a dad, a boss, a pastor, a mate, a child, and they speak in these black and white statements and with such decisiveness, and yet may not quite be right, you have to understand they're not trying to be angry, they're not trying to intimidate you on purpose. So on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being very intense, 1 being mellow, they're always coming across as 8, 9s, and 10s, right? Well, divide by 2, whatever an eagle or those with the gift of prophecy, whatever they say at that 8, 9, and 10 that you're perceiving, just go ahead and divide it by 2. If it sounds like an 8, it's probably a 4. If it's a 10, probably a 5. And it won't be as overwhelming and intimidating to you anymore. And that's what she was thanking me about. She reinterpreted all those conversations with her boss and recognized he didn't hate her. He wasn't mad at her. It's just the way he communicated. And we need that strong voice sometimes. God had his prophets in the Old Testament and the New Testament to speak strongly. There are seasons when we need that. So praise God with those with the gift of prophecy, the eagles among us. But then the text here in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, mentions the gift of teaching. And I use tiger as the metaphor. Why? Because those with the gift of teaching love the meat of the gospel, the meat of the word, you know, and tigers are carnivorous. And there are some people who are so smart, so brilliant in the scriptures, able to explain it. In fact, where the prophet declares the black and white heart truths of God, those with the gift of teaching explains the comprehensive biblical insights of God. These are the men and women who, when they teach, they have the charts, the diagrams, the outlines. They have multiple passages that they want you to look at. They want to try to explain the comprehensive insights on whatever topic they're speaking on. A prophet will take one passage and hit it hard on the theme, but that frustrates the teacher who's thinking there in the pew, "Wait a minute, there's a lot of other passages that kind of qualify this. There are caveats to this." The prophet, when he's listening to a teacher, or if she's listening to a teacher, gets frustrated. "Man, you're all over the map. There's too many scriptures, too many points. It's dizzying." Because we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And yet a tiger can feel intimidating too, with all that Bible knowledge, when we feel like we don't have that much. Here's a good cross-reference, since I got a lot of teacher in me. Hebrews chapter 5, if you're jotting this down for the teacher tiger, Hebrews 5, verse 12 and verse 14. Bible says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk, not solid food." And then in verse 14, "But solid food is for the mature." It's the meat here. "Solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." I just love that. Oh, my friends, I praise God for those gifted with the gift of teaching, love to explain the comprehensive insights of God, and they have to realize that if they do too much and say too much, that can be overwhelming to many people. So they have to be careful not to intimidate with the comprehensive understanding and thorough comprehension of the Word of God as opposed to others. So these are the first two of the three spiritual gifts, personal spiritual gifts that we're heartwired with, that are the extroverts. And we're going to continue our journey next time. But I hope you're enjoying this start in discovering your personal spiritual gift and the gifts of those around you. Well, Lord, thank you that you take us on marvelous journeys like this. And we are just so grateful for the privilege to go deeper into your Word. Thank you for being the gift giver and making us so unique. You're so gracious. You're so kind. May we appreciate each other, including all of our differences. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, our gift giver.